Centennial Apartment, San Antonio, Texas.
Matt Damon!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 49 for August 22nd, 2013. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like The Real Mother Effing News, Trending Mobile Technology, and The Spanish Announce Table. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get into the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. Send us an email, oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at oldmovies.net. That's oldmovies.net. So without further ado, let's introduce our panel this week. We'll start off with our Iron Man, Mr. Heavyset. We got Kebo Trek.
Oh my.
And we have Will.
Thanks for having me.
All right, let's get into the news.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
Our news stories this week. The Expendables 3 film begins in Bulgaria. Plot and cast announced. Bradley Cooper to produce and may star in Lance Armstrong film at Warner Brothers. Universal sets April 2015 release for Seth MacFarlane's Ted sequel. Hulk Hogan wants Chris Hemsworth to star in his biopic. Paramount delays Ninja Turtles yet again, this time for toy strategy. And Bruce Willis getting bored in starring in big action movies again. Heavyset, what would you like to discuss this week?
Wait, you know something, brother? I really want to talk about the Ninja Turtles, dude. Swerve.
Yeah, you caught me off with the swerve there, man. All right, let's get into the article. So after a delay in 2012 caused by seemingly necessary budget cuts, the Michael Bay-produced iteration of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was pushed back from a Christmas 2013 release date until May of 2014. Then later, the date was shifted again by a month back to June 6, 2014. Well, third time's the charm, as Deadline reports. Paramount Pictures is pushing back Nickelodeon movies two more months for release August 8th. This time, the reason cited is to allow Transformers 4 to enjoy more time as the prominent merchandising and advertising giant for a couple of months before the Ninja Turtles come in again. Heavy, is this just another bad sign for this movie? Is it going to be the Lone Ranger of 2014?
You know, this just really gets, because they also go on to say that, going to put it to, it's going to be a week before Guardians of the Galaxy, and it's like, well, I'm thinking, is that what you really want to do, go up against a Marvel movie that's part of this Avengers series? I mean, granted, right now, that movie seems kind of wishy-washy of, like, what kind of hype it's going to get, because it's not as established as, you know, everybody else has seemed to be, but I don't know why they're even going for summer release for this. I think this has the potential of being a summer blockbuster movie, but sometimes you will wind up being that Lone Ranger. You will wind up being that Wild Wild West. You will just be this movie that could have a lot of potential, and if you're done bad or you just wrong timing, you know, you're going to fail. I like the idea of having it around Christmas because it seems like you have a little bit less of movies that come out like that. So why they've pushed it from Christmas to summer, and like partly because of merchandising, like they sell like merchandise for like over a year. So what would it freaking matter? Like I think I went to the store recently and still seen Dark Knight Rises figures. So tell me, what the hell does it matter?
I think they're just scared. I think this movie's in trouble. I think this movie's in big trouble. And it just if you hear all the chatter on Twitter, I mean, it's just a year and a half before the movie's even coming out, and people are just destroying it, specifically because of the director involved, Michael Bay. So, I mean, regardless of if he comes out with the greatest movie, we've seen this before. We were talking about this a couple weeks ago, just that perception with, like, M. Night Shyamalan. It's all, he's crap now. So it's gotten to this Michael Bay thing that we got to stay away from it. And I don't know if that's going to resonate into dollars lost, because we've seen Transformers movies do well despite all the negative criticism. But I don't know. I just got a bad feeling about this one. Anybody else want to chime in on this?
I will. I think it's a really bad sign that, first of all, the budget had to be cut. And just thinking, like, it's a Michael Bay movie, and, like, he's going to have, like, it's going to be a basically all explosions again. Yeah. So maybe,
but it's less explosions.
Maybe, no, but that's the thing. Like, maybe in one way, it is a good sign that they're moving away from that. But at the same time, it kind of shows that they don't have confidence in him again when they're taking away part of the budget. And I completely agree with Heavy. I think this should be a movie for either the end of November or December. With all, like, it's already been established that the Ninja Turtles don't sell as much as they used to, especially like in the 90s and things like that. So by putting it in the summer, you're exposing it to so much more risk than if you give it a late November or an early December, or even going for like a Christmas release, something like that, I think would be better. Because I think they see it as a summer blockbuster, but I don't think the property is a summer blockbuster at this point.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking late November Christmas numbers. It's not going to do anywhere close to July-August release. That's just in terms of popularity of film.
Not necessarily. Wait, what? What about Titanic? What about James Avatar? Cameron movies? Yeah, Avatar. James Cameron always decided that it was better to do it in Christmas, you know, in the winter.
Two exceptions out of how many movies? 4,000? 4,
no, it's not
movies.
That. Think about it.
On the average, on
Lord
the whole.
Of
the
Rings. No, but you're looking at the wrong thing. Yeah, The Hobbit. Look at the wrong deal here, old school. You have to look at
monthly averages.
No, though. But it's because big movies don't get released in the winter. If they did, they would make money too. They just don't. So you have to compare apples with oranges. You have to compare apples to apples, not apples with oranges. In the winter, usually you get films that are more dramatic, more for like the Oscars.
But if that's the case, why didn't more people think like that?
People, because they look at the same numbers you're looking at. The only guy who was thinking ahead was James Cameron, who said, you know what? There's no big movie in the winter. Let's put one there. And for some reason,
he lucked out. He took a big risk.
Then how come he's been doing it forever now since?
Well, because of that big movie, then, James Cameron, I got to go see it. You lucked out on one big movie.
But no, what do you mean one? He did Titanic. He did the same strategy for Avatar.
That's Titanic. That made nothing.
But we've seen a lot of examples. I mean, the James Bond movies, things like that. It's just, I think Will has it right, where not as many movies are released. And then we also have to consider, though, summer is May. Like, it's considered almost from, I think, Memorial Day weekend to almost the end of August. Whereas we're talking more of a...
It's a one-month thing.
Exactly. At most, you beginning of middle November, so you're getting 6 weeks. So I don't think it's necessarily fair to compare the summer box office period to that late November and December period.
And also, if you're talking about merchandise, if you're looking at either Transformers or Ninja Turtles, the winter will have more merchandising because there will be Christmas ahead, and that's when you're going to be buying the toys.
Yeah, but you're not planning... You're not going to be releasing a movie in November and expect sales in December. You want to plan that months ahead.
Yeah, wait, sure, but most toys will sell that month.
Yeah,
out,
but
no?
It takes a long time to produce these types of toys.
Oh, and, I understand.
You know what I mean? Like, release a movie December 12th, you can't have toys out there for 24th. I mean, people have already bought their stuff. So I think if they're looking for the Christmas sales, they want to come out in late August, early September.
Hold on. Too, something I want to throw out there, too. Normally, whenever movies come out for like merchandise, normally there's like a couple months before the movie comes out is when the toys come out.
Yeah. Like G.I. Joe Retaliation, those toys were out before.
Like if it were to be a Christmas release, you would probably see stuff around, I want to say September, October.
I think maybe they're going for the combo. They're going for the summer average, the more the people go out in the summer, and they want the toy release. Maybe it's a combo of the two. Kebo Trek, would you like to discuss this week?
Well, Heavy chose the one I was going to choose. And
really?
Yep. I know you think I'd go with the Expendables, right? But
I was thinking that or Hogan.
Nah, that wasn't crazy about the Hogan story, so I will go with the Expendables.
All right, Expendables 3 filming begins in Bulgaria, plot and cast announced. It's off to the races for Expendables 3 is Lionsgate, and Millennium Films have announced the movie's production has begun with filming in Bulgaria. Sylvester Stallone is bringing in some big guns for the third installment of the franchise with the additions of Harrison Ford, Wesley Snipes, Antonio Banderas, Kellan Lutz, Ronda Rousey, and Mel Gibson. And there's actually another article of, like, they're showing how Gibson's jacked for this role, too. Returning with Stallone for the first two movies are Jason Statham, Jet Li, Dolph Lundgren, Randy Couture, Terry Crews, and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Bruce Willis is not appearing, which was first revealed by Stallone on Twitter. Plot for the movie was also announced. Kebo Trek, I mean, the amount of stars in this new one, even bigger than the second. I mean, this is going to be ridiculous. Do you think it's gotten to the point where it's just completely over the top and too ridiculous?
Well, first of all, they're missing the most important name, but we won't discuss that. But absolutely not. That's what makes the movies fun. The more ridiculous they are, the more fun they are to watch. Like, we're not going to these movies to see some kind of Oscar performance. We're going to see everything blow up and see a lot of our favorite action stars do it. And what I really like is they're kind of bringing in the new action star. Like in the plot summary where they're saying like they're going to bring in some new blood with their new techniques. It's kind of like a juxtaposition or whatever you call it of the action movies, where we got the old, like the first two movies were basically 80s action movies, and now we're kind of bringing in today's action star into it. So I like that we're going to see the melange of the two action type movies from different decades.
Do you think that these old guys will be able to keep up with these new? I mean, Stallone's turning, what, 60? Schwarzenegger is past his prime. Is this more of a pass the torch kind of movie, or are these old guys trying to cling on to what they have left?
Absolutely not. I don't think so. I mean, personally, when I watch the movies, or basically almost everyone when we're in our theaters, who were we the most excited to see? It was Van Damme. It was Chuck Norris. It was, you know, Schwarzenegger. So I don't think it's more of a passing of the torch rather than more just, you know, trying to bring in a bit of today's action with yesterday's action.
What I found, you said, would it be overcrowded? Not with, you know, what they've put so far, but however, with the summary saying that the point is that they'll have, like, these new recruits, now I think it's going to be a bit overcrowded. I mean, we didn't hear about these new recruits yet. Recruits plural means that there will be several of them. And, I don't know, it just seems like a lot, especially when you're bringing in, like, what were the new cast? You had Wesley Snipes coming in, Antonio Banderas. Those are not the new recruits. So you've got them
Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford. Yeah, these are not the new guys, obviously. So where are these guys coming from? The news we've been hearing and the actual plot that's been put on the site doesn't seem to correlate. That's my only thing with it. But there was
That it's just going to be there's too much? So it's just going to be rushed and we won't be able to enjoy the stars? Because there's so many.
Yeah, I feel it's going to be a lot like.
It's going to be a 2-hour cameo.
Yeah, like what we saw a lot last time with like, what was it? With the Willis sections, Schwarzenegger and Jet Li, who was there for about 5 minutes. We'll see a lot. Also, just to mention, there's no Jackie Chan written down. And for a while, Jackie Chan was said to be in Expendables 3. And it seems that he is not after all.
No, I think he's still, because I mean.
Really?
They did, as far as I know, he's still supposed to be in. I mean, they don't have Mila down. They don't have.
That's true, you're right.
But I think for like a lot of these, like Banderas, like I think we're only going to see like cameos from them, kind of like Chuck Norris, where he has his one or two scenes, and that'll be it. I expect it'll be like that for Wesley Snipes, Banderas. Oh,
they won't have a prominent role. No. Just to be in for a day or two.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be something like it was Chuck Norris. Could be wrong, but because you have your core five or your core six, you know, Statham, Dalla, Lundgren, Couture, Cruise, and Stallone. And I think the others, we'll see him pop in and out.
What I'd like to know is if we have Snipes and we've got Banderas as new, I'm wondering if those will be part of Mel Gibson's crew instead. I would find that quite fun.
I hope so.
That's what I'm hoping for, yeah.
Like, not just have, it'd be more fun to have, like, two or three bad guys rather than just that one big villain.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to see Jackie Chan play a villain.
I think he won't, though, I believe, right? He's against it.
I think he won't. Yeah, he wrote, he said he was against it.
Yeah. Oh, that sucks, man. That would have been cool for him to
never seen him play
branch out a bit, you know?
Yeah, I understand.
All right, what would you like to discuss?
Can you please remind me of what, because those are the two topics I wanted to, like, for example, I want to pick Ninja Turtles, was picked. Okay, Expendables, picked.
All right, we got Bradley Cooper playing Lance Armstrong. Ted 2's coming out in 2015. Yes. We got Hogan, and we got Bruce Willis.
We'll go for Hogan.
All right, there you go. Good guy. A Hulk Hogan biopic is in the very early days of production. The wrestling star read a 4-page treatment penned by a duo he describes as hot young writers and liked it so much that he told them to go ahead and write a full script. While that doesn't mean it will necessarily end up being a movie, Hogan at least has a good idea of who he'd like to play a younger version of himself. We need a serious actor who knows what he's doing, brother. You know what I thought would be good, brother? That guy you did in the action movie Thor, brother. Hogan tells... you didn't say brother.
Oh, okay.
Hogan tells the Cape Breton Post, meaning Chris Helmsworth. What do you think about this casting? I don't think anybody can really play Hogan, and I can't picture this being a big-budget movie. I see a Hogan biopic being on, like, E-Television or something. You know what I mean? I can't see it being a big-budget movie. What do you think about the idea of a Hogan biopic, and what do you think about the Chris Helmsworth casting he wants?
You know what's odd? If I were, like, if you told me they would make a Hulk Hogan movie, I would have no clue who to cast. But now that I see Chris Helmsworth, you know what? It fits really, really well. Like, I mean, I obviously only Hogan can play Hogan, but out of everybody there, Hemsworth is a perfect match to me. He's got the build. He can grow that. Hopefully he can grow that crazy mustache of his. I don't know. It would work. I could see it happening. However, a movie itself, the thing is that unlike other people, Hogan's life is not like full of, as far as I know, tragedy and...
There is.
Like drama. There is? Yeah, big time?
Yeah.
Good, because he seems to still be, I don't know, doing well with himself. So, okay. Well, if he's got the drama elements to it, then sure. Because I didn't see how it could work as a drama. I mean, yeah.
He's got all kinds of shit with the ex-wife and, oh, yeah.
No, yeah, but could they make it... Yeah, but it's not just... So would it be like a divorce pick? Like, I mean, could it be something like, for example, The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke, all right?
He's got a big history with Vince McMahon, how they changed the whole backstory of wrestling. It used to be territorial, and him and Vince took it to like a global branded company, and they were threatened at gunpoint by promoters, and it was crazy. So he's definitely got a story to tell.
Yeah, okay, cool. In that case, I'd be interested to see it. Yeah,
and also the steroids background too. That was pretty big at the time with the whole him and Vince and going on trial. I mean, there's a lot there for Hogan to have a biopic. I'm kind of so-so on it just because I feel like you need to be somewhere towards the end of your life or dead before we even talk about one. I'm looking at it like, Hogan, you can't even walk away from wrestling yet. Why the hell should we even have a biopic for you right now?
And the one thing too, I don't see it making any kind of decent money if WWE isn't promoting it. So if he's still in TNA, or they've got a script that WWE is going to stay away from, especially with steroids and stuff, I can't see this making any kind of box office.
What I wanted to say is that it shows how crazy the internet's gotten. Where was it just, I'd say 5 years ago, we would have never heard this news. Ever, ever, ever. Like, this is what he read, I think, 4 pages, and that's what we have so far of a movie. This is like the... This is just like a step forwards to just Hulk Hogan saying, hey guys, I'd like to make a movie. There's so little, this is such little news that the odds of this becoming a movie are close to none at this point. I mean, so many movies get to this phase that we never ever hear of.
Cabo Track, you were saying?
I was just going to echo what you said, where I really don't think this movie would have any kind of mass appeal. Like, especially if it's more about if it goes too deep into the wrestling, like the backstage wrestling and that, I don't think it'll appeal to most. Like, it'll appeal to us, but most people, I don't think they'll really care about it. And I don't think Hogan's enough of a draw in terms of anything outside of wrestling to warrant a movie. Like,
if you keep the budget decent enough, I think it might be. I mean, look at how well The Wrestler did. And Hogan is pretty much one of two or three wrestlers. I could say to my mom, oh, this guy, and she knows who it is. So he's definitely got the name recognition.
Oh, definitely. But will that get people to come out and see a movie about him? I'm really not sure. I guess if you, like you said, they keep the budget really tight, I can see it being made, but I'd prefer this to be like an A&E biopic.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it's going to get made. All right, let's get into the movie review of the week. We've seen Kick-Ass 2. I'll let Kebo Trek start.
Yeah, I forgot to write notes about this, so I'll wing it
a bit. Just do it live.
I'll wing it, brother. Overall, I really liked this movie. It was fun. It wasn't as good as the first one, obviously, because one thing the first one had was that shock value. Like, you know, I remember Maverick was saying how he went to see it in the theater, and, you know, once the swearing started coming up, like, mothers were leaving with their children, and, you know, seeing an 11-year-old stabbing people and getting beat up by, like, a full-grown man, it was like, oh, my God. So I think we were missing that from this movie, but, I mean, it was a fun movie. I think anyone who sees the movie agrees that what makes the movie so good is Hit Girl.
Yeah, she's got to branch off. I definitely see her doing her own movie.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Like, to me, what made the first one and what makes this one is Hit Girl. Like, 95% of my enjoyment is from her in the movie. So,
hey, you better watch it. 15 will get you 20.
Bro. I know she's 16 now, but not that I'd know that. But I wanted to see a bit more Hit Girl in it. Like, we saw a lot of her as Mindy, and I guess that's good for backstory. But I did want to see slightly more of Hit Girl.
Slightly more ass kicking.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just some general ass kicking her in the costume. But still, I mean, pretty much any scene she was in, she completely stole the show. Like,
she owned it. Yeah. She owned every scene she was in.
Exactly. Like, you know, some of her comments when she was with the other girls about, like, I forget what she said, like, I'll kick you in the snatch or whatever. And just think.
Or the, that stick there that does stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, when she was in a scene, I was happy. It's like, this is awesome. I like the fight scene we got at the end. I think you know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Just seeing, like,
and when those two, like, when you saw the tease of those two, and it just, I think everybody in the theater was like instantly, oh shit, here we go.
Yeah, exactly. Like, when their eyes met, and just because of the contrast between the two of them, and you actually bought, like, I actually bought what was going on in the fight scene. Like, it's not like, oh, this is so unrealistic, but, like, the first two movies kind of established, like, okay, this could happen. So beyond Hit Girl, I mean, again, I'll say his real name, Christopher Mintz-Plasse, did a great job. I mean, he'll always be McLovin to us all, but I think he just looked like he had a lot of fun with this role.
If any role could have broke that mold, it was this role.
But it still won't.
Yeah,
people will see him, they don't know his name, they'll be like, that's McLovin. But, you know, I thought he had a lot of fun. I loved when he was naming the characters, like Genghis Carnage and things like that.
Mother Russia.
Yeah, Mother Russia, Black Death.
Black Death.
And, you know, John Leguizamo did a great job as well. It looked like he was having fun. Despite it being, like, such a very violent and serious, it was still fun. So I really liked that. And Jim Carrey, I mean, he wasn't in it a lot, but he did a great job. Like, I remember watching the trailer, and I didn't even know it was him at first. I had to go rewatch it a second time, and like, oh, crap, that's Jim Carrey.
It was such a shame that he's distancing himself from that role now, because he did such a good job.
Yeah, I know. It's too bad. And Chloe Moretz called him out on that, which was pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, and so what else was I going to say? I thought they focused a bit too much on some of the other superheroes, but I guess that's what they wanted to do. But like I said, I would have preferred more time going into Hit Girl. And
but it's not her movie.
I know that's the problem, though. I wanted it to be her movie just because she was, like, so entertaining.
Yeah.
But overall, you know, I really enjoyed it. It was some great violence. Over-the-top violence. But, you know, I had – I guess one of the most important things when watching a movie is to have fun during a movie. And I had a lot of fun watching it.
Shaky cam wasn't too bad either.
Yeah, that's one thing that really, you know, we all saw with Elysium last week.
Oh, God, like how that can headache, putastic.
Yeah, that's it, how shaky. It can completely make a movie so much worse. And when you can actually watch the fight scenes, it makes it a lot more enjoyable.
Yeah.
And the last thing I'll mention is I like the ending with Hit Girl, even though, you know, I don't know, it felt right, and it felt like it would be a perfect opportunity to give her own movie.
Yeah.
So, you know, for the most part, it's, you know, wasn't as good as the first one. If I had to rate it on 10, I would give it 8 capes on 10.
That's all you got is 8 capes?
I don't know. I could, you know.
I echo pretty much everything you just said. I loved Hit Girl. Loved Christopher Mintz-Plasse in it. I thought, you know, again, it's one of the only roles that he could try to break out. I know he will always be known as McLovin, but it was, again, I echo what you said. It was very enjoyable. Shaky cam wasn't too bad. And I had a lot of fun watching it. I will give it 8.5 ass kicks out of 10. All right, let's get into the box office for this week. Lee Daniels, what the hell is this? Lee Daniels, the butler, $24 million. Was this some kind of big cast movie we looked over this week? Or what is this movie?
It's Oprah's tied to it.
Yeah. Oh, that's why.
So, I mean,
damn Oprah.
The thing Oprah, is, Forrest Whitaker, Cuba Gooding Jr.
It's a big cast. It's a big cast.
And
hold on, is Tyler Perry in this?
No, wait. Isn't he playing Oprah? Is that
oh, the thing is, like, this has a good opening and it's going to make money, but this movie should make next to nothing on the foreign market.
Where the Millers came in with $17.9 million. Number two, down 32%. Elysium, number three, with 13.6. Planes, number four, 13.3. Total domestic of 45. What the hell, Kev? $13 million opening for Kick-Ass 2?
Yeah, I was really surprised. What? I thought it was going to get about 20. And I'm not really sure why it didn't do well. Thankfully, its budget is...
It's only 30, yeah.
Yeah, and that's it. So I think eventually we will see a profit eventually, but it might stop more Kick-Ass movies from being made.
I thought that this was going to be kind of the more the blockbuster. You know, the first one was very niche, but I thought, okay, because the first one had its little success, that it would publicize and give it more publicity to make this a more big action movie that'll make a lot more money. I'm absolutely dumbfounded that it came in this low.
Yeah, I was, like I said, I was expecting about 20 million, so it's quite a bit lower than I thought.
Percy Jackson and the Sea of Monsters came in at number six with 8.7 million. It's got a total domestic of 39. Jobs, oh God. What the fuck, man? Jobs debuted with $6.7 million. I guess I can't be too surprised. I mean, the critics have been just trashing it, completely trashing it, even though the audience rating was below 60. So.
What have they been saying? I actually didn't keep up with this.
They found it to be boring. It didn't have a purpose. The movie was just kind of dragged along. That's what they said.
Did you watch it, the old school?
I'm going to be watching it this week. I want to give it a fair shake, so... It's got a low budget, though, only $12 million, so I don't think they're too worried, I guess, about it. Two guns.
The proper headline is Jobs at the theater.
Jobs at the box office.
There we go.
Only wrestling fans would get that one. Two Guns came in at number eight with $5 million. It's got a total domestic of 59. What's it doing foreign? I'm really curious. Oh, no foreign money? What the fuck? What's going on with that, Keb?
Probably just hasn't been released yet.
Yeah, it hasn't released yet.
What do you think it's going to do on the foreign market? Denzel's a draw, no?
Yeah, but honestly, I'm not expecting too much foreign-wise for this either. I think it'll be enough to make the studio happy, but we're not going to be seeing, you know, 75% foreign and 25% domestic or anything like that.
Smurfs 2 came in with another 4.7. It's got a total domestic of 57. And to round off the top 10, the Wolverine got another $4.5 million. It's got a total gross of $120 domestic. Let's check out new movies coming out this week. We've got Twilight-esque movies, so we're just going to pretend that's not coming out. First one is The World's End with Simon Pegg. We're going to throw it to Will when we get back from the trailer.
Ever had one of those nights that starts out like any other, but ends up being the best night of your life? I did. Our goal that night was simple. 12 pubs, 12 pints. From the first post to the world's end. But that night, we never made it.
I saw the boys the other day.
Uh-huh.
We're going to go back to Newton Haven.
Why?
Five guys, 12 pubs, 50 pints.
60 pints.
Steady on, you alky.
This is our chance to finally finish what we started.
We are going to do the Golden Mile, and this time we are going to see it through to the bitter end. Or lager end.
Good evening, Raimondo. The prodigal son's return.
Hi. What do you recommend?
Beer.
Mmm.
One tap water.
What? What the hell is this? Why are we even here?
We are here to get annihilated.
You come back and everything's sort of weird.
I suggest you get on your way.
It's not us that's changed. It's the town.
We are going to get to the world's end if it kills us. Oh, come on, boys.
This looks fun. You know, if you're a fan of Shaun of the Dead or Hot Fuzz, Simon Pegg, I forget his sidekick, the more heavy set guy. But all these movies are just crazy.
Nick Frost.
This pub crawl turns into like an alien invasion. I don't know. It seems like a fun movie. What do you think about this? Well, yeah or nah?
Okay, here's a question. Who's got two thumbs and doesn't give a fuck? This guy. Okay, there nay. No, it's a nay.
All right, Keb Butrek.
If anything, it'd be a rental.
Yeah. Have you seen have you seen Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead?
I've seen both. I don't know. I don't find them fun.
No, I haven't seen either. Well, I saw part of Shaun of the Dead. I wasn't crazy about it.
Okay. Heavy set?
Wow. I'm the yay on this one. I actually loved both of those other movies, and I've actually missed seeing these guys together in something new because it's been, I'm going to guess, probably 6 years or so since Hot Fuzz, roughly. Maybe 5-6 years. So I'm really happy to see this, and I really want to see it, so I'm a yay.
Yeah, I'm a yay as well, so I guess we're split on that one. All right, so yeah, we've also got You're Next and The Mortal Instruments, City of Bones. We're not big horror gurus, so I guess I'd have to get Karp's opinion on You're Next. And we're not big Twilight fans, so The Mortal Instruments, City of Bones, I think it's some kind of Shadow Hunter or whatever. So
I'll be watching it, though.
Yeah, but that's not by choice.
No, not by choice.
All right, so not a lot coming out this week in the world of new releases. I guess you can catch up on what you missed the last couple of weeks. But Keb Butrek, what's coming out in the world of DVDs?
We have a couple big, quote-unquote, big movies coming out this week. We have the animated movie Epic. I personally haven't seen it. I don't know if any of you guys have.
Ebby, have you seen Epic?
No, I can't even remember what it was about.
Yeah, it's... I don't think it did very well. Well, I mean, we're talking relatively again. I don't think it did too well at the box office. Wasn't one of those big hit movies. We have everyone's favorite, and I know a personal favorite of Karp's coming out, Scary Movie 5. I can't believe they're still making these pieces of crap.
If they're still making money, they're still like the Paranormal Activities, man. They still make.
I know, that's the thing. They keep the budget so low, and it has like, I mean, granted they're making less and less money, but the fact that they keep the budget so low, you know, it's enough to show them a profit, so they keep making these pieces of crap.
Wasn't didn't that win a couple of Oscar nods for like foreign film and stuff like that? That's it this week.
Yes, I believe that. I think it won the best foreign picture, right?
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, yeah, and it was in the running for the, I think it was up for best picture of the year. So definitely, I mean, it's probably not something we'd see. At least I don't.
Don't Stop Believing. Is that a Journey biopic?
Yes, it is. Again, you know, probably not something we'd see. There's also, I didn't even know about this movie. I was just checking it out, Killing Season. You know, it has Travolta and De Niro in it. I was like, what? How did I not know about this movie?
Yeah, I didn't hear about this at all either.
Have any of you guys? Because, like, you figure a movie with these two guys, you'd at least hear about it. I don't know if it went direct to DVD, or so I don't know.
I never heard of this movie. No, I saw it too on the upcoming movies, and I was like, I had never heard of this film in my life.
I guess that's pretty much it for the movies on DVD this week. Not bad relative to what we've been seeing lately, but it's not really DVD selling time, so.
I'm going to check out this Killing Season for next week. This looks anything with De Niro and Travolta. I've never seen those two together, so.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see De Niro playing De Niro again, so.
There you go. Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, with these old actors, you know, like, the Walk-In and Pacino pick was great. I forget the name of that. I saw that not too long ago. And even Will was a big fan of it.
Stand-up guys.
That was awesome. So, I mean, if they got a great script, these two guys can entertain you for 2 hours. Why not? Anyways, yeah, pretty light week. Not too much going on. I guess we'll close the show, throw it to Will, get your final thoughts.
You know what? I just want to say that I thank you, Old School, for having me on, as always.
All right. Keb Butrek, get your final thoughts.
Not much. Go see Kick-Ass if you want to see a fun movie that you're going to have a good time at.
All right. Heavy set, plugs, final thoughts.
Yeah, same old, blah, blah, blah. Matt Damon.
All right.
Matt Damon.
So far, Keb
Damon. Matt Damon.
So far, Keb Butrek, heavy set, Will. I am Mr. Old School. Thank you very much for listening.
I love sluts. They're the best. They're so much easier than all the rest.
Kirk, where are you?
I love horse. I love tramps. I love skis. I love sluts. I love sluts.
slamming your brain through a table of wrestling knowledge.
Oh my God, what's gonna happen?
Breaking down the week's news and rumors. The Spanish Announce Table.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
I wanna be a Hulkamaniac.
Bradley Cooper to produce and
Gustav. Wait, hold on. Too, something I want to throw out there too. Normally, whenever
with filming in Bulgaria, Sylvester Stallone is bringing in. Hey, it actually made a typo in the article. Bringing in Come Big Guns. That's what it wrote. Bringing in the big cums. All right. All
Matt
right.
Damon.
So
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.